Well, finally, what is in a name? Turns out that parents are subconsciously selecting names that linguistically portray their children as, in the case of boys, masculine and stronger, and in the case of girls, much more feminine and petite. Now, let me explain. This is something called sound symbolism. Now, studies in nature have shown that if you look at an animal that wants to be friendly, it tends to make noises which have a higher pitch to them. So whines and bleats tend to be a sign of friendliness, whereas low frequency, harsher noises tend to signify aggression. So a growl or a bark, they tend to say I'm big, because big creatures tend to make lower frequency sounds. So animals definitely use this. Do humans? Well, if you play sounds from people and say take voices that are lower and they tend to be dominated by low frequencies, back of the throat type noises, people interpret those as coming from someone who is more masculine, more testosterone charged, and probably with bigger body strength than someone who has a higher voice. So it does appear that this sort of works in humans, but how does this apply to the names we give kids? Because if you think about it, some names, you have to use lower pitch sounds to make those names than other names. So if I take the name Michael, for example, Michael, you have to make the sound towards the back of your mouth, the my bit, and it tends to push the frequency down. Whereas Michelle, the girl equivalent, you tend to bring that to the front of your mouth and it's a higher pitch. So does this apply? Well, there's a paper in PLOS One this week. Alan McElligott and his colleagues at Queen Mary University of London have tested this. They got the most popular boys and girls names from US, UK and Australia, New South Wales. And they asked, in these most popular names, are we seeing preferentially boys' names that tend to have these vowels which are low frequencies up front in the word, the dominant sound, and girls' names with a higher pitch? There is a really statistically significant association between sounds that are high-pitched versus sounds that are low-pitched, girls versus boys. Phil?
It'd be interesting to see if that works in other languages as well, because all of those are English language-speaking nations. So has it looked at other languages?
I spoke to Alan McElligott about this, and he says, very interesting question, they don't know yet, but he does have some interesting examples, which are that they may expect the precise opposite to happen in other languages, because, for instance, if you look in African cultures, whereas in Britain we tend to, or in Western cultures, slim, short women are regarded as the ideal. In African cultures, you want a woman who's extremely well fed, because this is a sign of health and riches. So actually, it may be that if you look in those particular cultures, you're going to find people who have actually low pitch type names signifying large, because that's actually what you want. So you may find the counter-argument is also true. So they're actually going to do that study next.
We had quite an interesting conversation in the office earlier about whether our names were masculine or feminine. And I think mine seems to obey the rules, because Dominic, the O is a masculine sound. But we thought yours, Chris, actually, that E is actually not very masculine. But yeah, if you take your full name, Christopher, the offer, that's more masculine. So in fact, your full name, Chris, is masculine, but the abbreviation we're not so sure about.
I better stick to the long version of the name then. Well, they open the paper by saying James Bond. And James is a bit like Chris. It's quite high-pitched, but the Bond gives you the lower O. And so that Ian Fleming presumably chose that phlegmatic character very much on purpose.